started, I just want to say thank you for choosing this podcast and welcome inside the Genie's Lamp. If you're someone who has been on the constant rollercoaster of losing weight, gaining it all back, and never feeling truly happy, this is the podcast for you. We've helped over 1,000 clients worldwide achieve amazing physical results, but most importantly, help heal their relationships with food, the scales, their body, and their mind so they can finally get away from toxic diet culture and live a stress-free life. This podcast is an in-depth, behind-the-scenes look into our mission of coaching clients to achieve all their desired results by prioritizing their mental and emotional health, mentoring clients to overcome the all-or-nothing, perfectionism, never-be-good-enough blockages so they can finally sustain their results and make us, their coaches, 100% redundant. If you find the podcast valuable and you want to do your part to help others, feel free to leave a review so we can reach more people who may need to hear this information but don't yet know we exist. Thank you for choosing and trusting the Fitness Genie. Enjoy the episode. Everybody, hope you've been doing absolutely amazing. Welcome back to the podcast. For this one, we're going to be talking about stop restricting and start building. I know I've touched on this a fair few times, but it's become more common. How do I say it? I've had more people ask me about how to increase their calories and get out of a deficit as of late compared to, I suppose, previously. A lot of the time when people do... Ooh, Lilo. Nope, she's not under there. My God, I thought I nearly squashed Lilo. But anywho, a lot of the time when people come to me, they're obviously wanting to lose weight. That's one of the biggest things that I help people do, which is obviously to lose weight. They've done all the diets before. They know every diet under the sun. They've lost the weight, but then they've put it back on. So losing the weight for them is not the issue. It's keeping it off that for everyone is the big issue. The same thing I say to them is what we're going to be running through in this podcast today, which is everyone has either been on a diet and off a diet, but when was the last time that you intentionally maintained your weight? And I'm not talking about just the time that you were on a deficit or in a deficit and then out of nowhere you stopped losing weight and then you maintained for like 3-4 months before you hit a wall and then you went, fuck this, and then you threw it all back in. And then the weight obviously started coming back up. I'm not talking about that weight maintenance where you hit the roadblock. I'm talking about when did you last decide to increase your calories or decrease your output at the gym or whatever it is. When did you last decide to go into a maintenance phase? And for a lot of people, they've never done that. They don't even know what that maintenance phase is, short of doing a deficit for a long period of time and then metabolically adapting to that, and then not being able to burn any more calories or lose any more fat from the back of that. And as it just so happens, I changed one of my clients, who I'm going to give you as an example, but then I'm going to give you more examples of that as well, how I increased her calories and she lost weight. And on top of that, it feeds in perfectly to this subject of stop restricting and start building. So when people think about losing weight, obviously the first thing they do is, well, I'm going to have to give up this, I'm going to have to give up that, I'm going to have to go into a deficit, stop going out to social events, stop living my life, do all of those things. And that's really not what we're talking about, particularly with how, I suppose, my coaching style, it is more about what we can add in. And if you've been following me for a while, or if you've been listening to the podcast, or if you're a current client or a graduate, whatever one, you would know that I don't do anything to basically take things away from your life. I go, what do you like about your life? What do you enjoy about it? And how do we make that work for the goals that you're after? Because as soon as I say to anybody, for example, they love chocolate, and I say, what's your favorite thing in the world? And if they say chocolate, and I go, well, you can't have that because of the amount of fats that are in it, because of this, because the calories, not going to do fucking anything for you. No protein, no this, no that. Having chocolate can do a lot for you. It can improve your mental, emotional health. It can be something that helps to self-soothe you. It also activates a part in your brain that makes you just feel incredibly fucking satisfied and happy. You also get that same chemical response from cheese, which is why chocolate and cheese are usually the big things. It's like, oh fuck, I can't put that down. And it's very, you have to have it. You cannot stop and you cannot put it down. Because of the chemical reaction that we get from the chocolate, from the cheese, it's very difficult. Plus you chuck some crackers on there with some prosciutto for the cheese. Oh my Lord, fucking amazing. With everything I want to include into your life, I want to make your life better. I don't want to have to change your life in a sense of This is now how you work out. This is now how you eat. This is your meal plan, and you do this forever. That's not what we're doing, because then that does nothing other than teach you blind adherence to something that I've created, and you haven't learned anything. The only thing that you've really learned is blind adherence to go, yep, I do this when I want to lose weight, which is why it's also very common when people come on board and I say, what do you do or what have you done in the past? A high number of those people usually have like a folder somewhere, or they have something just in the kitchen, or they've got a fridge, or they've got somewhere of like an archive of meal plans that they used to do, of recipes that they used to do, of workout plans that they used to do. Everything is sort of, if I want to lose weight, I just do these things. And doing that, yeah, may lead to weight loss, but there's a reason you stopped doing them. Because either they were shit, you burnt out, or you just didn't like doing them. Which is a big part of why I don't give people meal plans straight out of the gate. Because a lot of people come in and go, what's the meal plan going to look like? And I'm like, I don't fucking do them, that's what. The reason I don't do them is because if I gave you a meal plan, and first off, big questionnaire, got all of that, and I got it back and said, sweet, this is going to be, based on the questionnaire that you've provided, this is going to be the world's best meal plan for you. You're going to get that meal plan and you're going to go, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, I don't eat kale, or I don't really like kale, can we change this? I'm like, oh fuck, I've got that in like four different recipes, all right. What about this? Do you enjoy this? Like, yep, sweet, awesome, chuck that in. Get to Wednesday. Hey, I've been invited out for someone's birthday. It's impromptu, but should I take my own food? Should I, like, what should I do? Should I just skip it? Should I? It brings up way too many questions and restrictions for your life. It doesn't help you create a lifestyle. It doesn't teach you how to balance your social settings with the food that you actually want versus what you're craving. Should you just have what you want? Should you lean into your cravings? It doesn't teach you any of that shit. It just says, do this, and that's it. So that's why a lot of people end up falling off. Oh my God, go away TikTok, there we go. That's why a lot of people end up falling off, because they just can't stick to it, because it's super restrictive and it fucking sucks. And obviously that's not what we want to do. We want to add things into your life. So let's look at when people start to focus on fat loss and when they start to go into a calorie deficit, when they want to lose weight, when they want to do all these things, instead of going into a deficit, which yes, you will need to go into a deficit in order for fat loss to occur. I completely get that. But I want to give, for example, the meal plan analogy. I'm not going to give you a shit meal plan that you're probably not going to follow, or you will follow for about 2 to 3 weeks and then burn out and have a week off and then do whatever the fuck you want, then gain all the weight, and then you'll go, oh my God, what the fuck happened? And then repeat that cycle. Most people when they, for that meal plan, as the analogy, as the example, I want to give you, for example, calories, protein. And I love to keep a side eye on fiber, because fiber is also going to help you feel full. It's also going to help out massively with the gut. If you do calories, protein, fiber, if you did that for 5 days a week and you just focused on hitting those targets, fantastic. Don't even worry about the other 2 days. If you've got the capacity to do an extra day or an extra 2 days of tracking, cool, go for it. But if you track for just 4 or 5 days of those week, wow. If you track for 4 or 5 days of that week, there we go, I'm getting there. It's going to be pretty damn good for you to be able to see, what are your serving sizes? What are your portions? What are the, or what is the type of food that you're having? Is it actually fueling you? When you go to snack at the pantry, oh, I can't do that because there's not as many calories left. Or I can do it if I want to, but then I'm going to have to change a few things around. Can't be bothered, not going to do it. It gives you a bit of accountability to go, well, why am I snacking? Pull up on it. And then eventually when we realize that we're just used to snacking because it's just a learned response that we've got, you'll come back and go, well, now I've actually got breakfast, lunch, dinner, pretty high protein, pretty decent fiber, pretty good meals. I don't need to snack as much because I'm feeling fuller for longer and I'm feeling pretty good. So awesome. That's what we do. For the 2 days or 3 days that you're not tracking, you will have a good sense for what types of food that you've been eating during the week that make you feel good. They don't leave you feeling bloated. They don't make you feel like shit. They don't give you massive brain fog, that you don't have a crash after them. You'll want to start doing those types of meals and recipes and start including them into your diet wherever the fuck you can. Does that mean that you're going to give up the pizza? No. But are you going to have that every single day? Like, have that pizza every single day? Are you going to have takeout 2-3 times a week? Probably not. Because you're understanding, or you're starting to understand and get a feel for what your mind and body actually need and what makes you feel good. It doesn't mean that you have to give up the shit that you choose for your mental and emotional health, like going out with friends or just sitting on the couch and having a pizza, doing whatever the fuck you want, but doing it within reason. You'll start to get that by not focusing so hard on, I have to lose this weight. I have to restrict everything in order to lose weight and I can't have this life. Because a lot of people don't realize, but they know, but they don't realize, is this whole health and fitness thing that we have, it's around forever. It's not just for this 8 weeks or this 12 weeks or my program, the 6 months. It's not around just for that. It's around for the rest of your life. You will be focusing on the foods that you eat and how you exercise and how you move and how you feel until you die. We have a retirement age for work. We don't have a retirement age for the work that you will put in to yourself, because you'll just keep going. Eventually, yeah, you may hit a point where you're not tracking calories, which is fine. A lot of my clients don't end up tracking calories. I'm not tracking calories at the moment. You'll hit a point where you don't care about calories. You don't care about the number on the scale. You don't care about a hell of a lot of things that you care about at the moment, but you will still have a sense of what makes you feel good. And those types of food or that type of movement or those types of hobbies, whatever the fuck it is, you're going to keep them around for a while because they make you feel good. The programs and meal plans and training and all that shit that you've done in the past, all the challenges you've done in the past, they have not made you feel good, which is why when you finish them, they completely leave your brain and you forget about them. But you may obviously keep the meal plans, training plans around because you go, well, yeah, I'm not happy with my weight again and what I see in the mirror. Let's flick through the fucking archives of meal plans. I'm just going to do that, lose some weight, repeat the exact same cycle because you've lost 6 to 8 kilos in 10 weeks. Cool. Sounds pretty good. Now I can go back to doing what I was doing previously. Please understand that you are in the position of needing to lose weight or wanting to lose weight or improve your health or life or whatever it is. You're wanting to make that improvement because of your lifestyle. You are not there because you don't know how to take care of yourself. Most people do know because they're fucking adults. Like, let's look at the bigger picture. Most people do know what is healthy versus not healthy. I've had clients come to me and they have been the absolute picture of health. They've gotten blood work, perfect. Their foods that they're having, perfect. Could they have done a little bit more strength training? Yeah, most people can, because general population people don't normally get a lot of strength training in, which is a big... The way I look at it is, oh, I nearly belted my microphone. The way I look at it is strength training or resistance training or trying to build muscle and become stronger is inevitable for everyone. You're either going to do it because you want to feel better and be proactive for your health and age with grace. You want decent bone density and prevent falls for when you get older, or you're going to have to do that type of shit during rehab because you haven't been proactive during it. And if you don't do it during rehab, well then, hey, you've just got a shit life. If you injure yourself, don't rehab, and you just go, ah, she'll be right, and you figure it out, there's going to be a lot of shit that comes off the back of that. So strength training and resistance. Oh my God, the postie's here. So yeah, strength training. Thank you for pausing with me while I go to the male postie person. My God. Anyway, strength training is inevitable. You're either going to do it because you want to be proactive and get strong and be healthy and metabolically healthy and all these fun things. It's also how we increase your total calories burned through the day, which means you can have a lot more food, which is fucking awesome. Or you're going to have to be sort of forced into it through rehab for whatever preventative issue, or my foot hurts, my shoulder hurts, my this, my that, my whatever. You go to the doctor and then either get a scan or you get an injection, you do something, you go to the physio and then you go, oh, you know what? This whole thing could actually be fixed by just doing a few exercises every day. You go, oh, fuck, okay. And then you do them and you fix it. And you go, well, how do I stop that from hurting? Well, I've got to keep doing these exercises every day. Maybe it's better if I just go to the gym and do that. And then get strong and prevent the issues. That's why I believe it's inevitable. But anywhoosies, we want to start building things. We want to start introducing things into your life that are going to be positive, that are going to help you create a better lifestyle so you don't have to go back and search through the fucking meal plans that you've got, through the different training plans. It's just you creating a life that you actually enjoy living. When we add all of the things in that you enjoy, because yes, we do get into a calorie deficit, but the big thing about it is, what type of foods do you love? How do you eat? Why do you eat? Including all of that into your lifestyle to go, it doesn't feel restricted. The amount of clients that I have where they sign up and then they go, holy fuck, I've never eaten this much food in my life, and they're still in a calorie deficit. The short answer of how we do that is called volume eating. We've got higher protein, which makes them feel fuller for longer. But then because I rarely give people a carb or fat goal, unless I'm specifically like, you need to hit these for specific reasons, they can fluctuate the carbs and fats wherever the fuck they want to be, and they're still going to see good results. There may be a bit of, you know, difference in the scale fluctuating because of the carb intake, because carbs hold onto water, not because they're fucking evil in any way, but because they have the capacity to hold onto water, which means there's higher fluid retention. So if I have really high carbs on a day, I'm probably going to weigh in higher the next day because I've got a lot of fluid retention. If I have really low carbs on one day, I'm probably going to piss everything out and get rid of everything, and I'm going to be a bit dehydrated, which means the scale is going to show a quote-unquote lower weight or better weight or whatever the fuck you want to, whatever you want to call it. That's how carbs influence the scales. Not because of any other magical reason or anything like that. We want to include, as I stare at my fucking keyboard and figure out where was I, we want to include things into your life. And we don't want to, like the classic example of go into a calorie deficit, this is what we don't want to do. Go into a calorie deficit and you lose weight until eventually you stop losing weight at, say, 1700 calories. And then because we don't know how to maintain weight or reverse diet or do anything, it's either on a diet, off a diet, we go from that 1700 of, hey, we've lost maybe 6 kilos up until 1700 and now we're not losing weight. Fuck, what do we do? Let's restrict calories even further. Now we're on 1500. You'll see a very slow weight loss happen and then you'll hit that wall again and then you go, what do I do? Increase the calorie deficit. You go to 1200 and you go, fuck, I cannot do any more of this. And then eventually you blow up from burning out. And then the weight all comes back on a lot quicker than the time that you lost it. What we want to do is increase calories over time while strength training to build as much metabolic tissue as possible, like muscle, because obviously it burns calories. That's why people like The Rock have fucking really high metabolisms, because they've got a lot of muscle. I'm not saying that you will look like The Rock. I have been working out consistently for, well, consistently and inconsistently, but being a personal trainer for basically 10 years. I've been working out, fucking hell, I've been working out since 17. So like 13 years almost. Jesus Christ. I've been working out for 13 years and it's been more consistent and more intense than the general populace type of person that just wants to get fitter and healthier. I don't look like The Rock. I'm not completely shredded. I have a decent amount of muscle mass on me, and if I flex, yeah, I can probably see the muscle depending on what food I've had the night before. But I can see whatever muscle that I'm trying to get. I'm about 13% body fat, 14% body fat, something like that, which 10% body fat for a guy is considered quote-unquote lean, and 7% I believe is stage lean, 6% is stage lean. I don't know, don't quote me on that, but any whoosies. I'm about 13% at the moment from my last scan, which was like over a month ago. The hello Lilo, she's got her pumpkin and she wants to play, but we can't right now. So me lifting weights for 13 years and consistency with nutrition has definitely not been my strong suit. It's always been sort of doing it, but not doing it. And every time I have been doing it, Lilo, can you stop, please? Go out there. Trying to, she's so cute. She's so distracting. Trying to be consistent with workouts is what I've done because my body fucking sucks from all the years that I've played gridiron. So I'm doing it to help my body feel better. I'm not doing it because I'm trying to look a particular way. Sometimes, yes, that is my focus, to be like, oh, I wish I had bigger shoulders or bigger arms or bigger legs or whatever the fuck it is. But that quickly dissipates within the month, really. Because when I start doing those things, I go, oh, my body feels better. And if I skip or don't work out for that entire week, I go, fuck, my shoulder's a bit sore. I'm really slumped at the desk. I'm just feeling short and like I need to crack every joint, bone, muscle, tendon, ligament, everything in my body because it just feels like a fucking sultana. I want to water that bitch up and turn back into a grape. That's what I want to do. Everyone loves grapes, but not everyone loves sultanas. Weird little things. So yeah, moral of the story, be a grape, not a sultana. We can just end it there because that's it. Be a grape, not a sultana. If you can add things into your life, like what I've done with the strength training, purely so I can feel good, then I'm probably going to be more consistent at it, which I have been. There's been times where I've fallen off and mental health and all this fun stuff, but I've always gone back to it because I like working out because of what it gives me. I don't do it because I want to look a particular way, although sometimes that is the focus, to be like, oh man, I'm not feeling good in myself, or I don't look this or that, or I'd like to look like this, whatever the fuck. But that is not what keeps me consistent. It may motivate me for a short period of time, but then I focus on the feel goods, and that is what motivates me to keep going. Same thing with nutrition. I can have a pizza and that will make me feel amazing. But if I have it on a Monday and a Thursday and then on the weekend, it's not going to be something that makes me feel amazing. It's going to be something that makes me feel like shit. Because it's way too many calories, it's way too fatty, it's way too this, it makes me feel bloated. But if I don't have anything to do on the weekend and I don't mind feeling a bit bloated, or I don't mind feeling whatever the fuck, then it's not going to matter, because I'm choosing something for my mental health instead of just what a number on the scale says, which I should probably weigh in. I haven't done that in over a month since my last scan. But anywho. So increasing your calories can be extremely beneficial. This is what I'm saying, like adding things in, for example, the pizza. There's been some days where I've woken up and I'm like, well, pizza on the Friday night from D&D or whatever the fuck it's been, high calories and a few drinks. And then on that Saturday, I've woken up and gone, I'm going to go to the gym. I go to the gym, I have an amazing session, and I feel pretty lean. I don't really weigh myself apart from when I'm doing my scans at the gym to just be like, oh, I wonder where I'm at. But I feel amazing, I lift amazing, I slept pretty damn good, and everything about that day is just absolutely spot on. Even though the day before, I've had insanely high calories. Not insanely high, like higher than normal. Probably like 3,500 calories. And it's not a weird thing, because I do understand where people are coming from of, hey, if you increase your calories, you'll lose weight. It's like, well, that's a going against everything I've ever learned ever. So for example, I say to every client before they sign up, when we have that first call, to be like, hey, is this possibly the answer for you and what you're doing, and how do we make this work if you want to? And I fucking hate saying like, if we're a good fit, because chances are you're inquiring because you've been following me on social media for fucking months on end. You're probably a good fit. I'm 99% certain someone jumping on the call with me is going to be a good fit. So it's basically whether or not you decide to do it. Obviously, if I've got space, insert plug-in for the post-it notes on the wall, I've got to update them. But if I've got space to do it, then yes, I'll take you on. But if I don't, then cool. We have Laura and we can do that as well. You can talk to Laura. She's been getting fucking amazing results, and your mindful movement, that's been kicking off as well. My Lord, she's absolutely crushing it at the moment. But shameless plug-in, she does have a few clients that are graduating, basically one per month for the next 3 or 4 months. So if you want to get in and secure your spot, do that, because she's obviously got some spots opening up because people are graduating. So don't miss out, inquire now. Ba-na-na-na, insert music and all the stuff around here, because super sexy plug-in, because that's what we do, marketing and stuff. Anyway. Every initial call that I have with someone, I say this. If you're showing me signs of like any red flags that are popping up in terms of like you're sleeping like shit, you're feeling like shit, or there's just red flags in general of you're not having a good time and you're potentially burning out, I will pull you out of that deficit, put you back towards the maintenance phase or maintenance numbers, whatever they are. Make sure that you're all good mentally, emotionally, that you're feeling okay. And then when you feel ready, we go back into the deficit slowly but surely over time. And everyone goes, yeah, fuck, that sounds amazing. Because it's always been, let's do this and smash it out and get the quickest results we possibly can. Yes, I'm going to help you get the physical results, but the mental, emotional is my priority, because that is the shit that keeps you consistent, motivated, and doing the lifestyle and stuff that we want you to do, which is the biggest thing that I promote, which is making myself redundant. If you know what makes you feel good, you're probably going to keep doing it. And if I've only come in and tweaked a few things with your lifestyle to basically flip the whole thing on its head, you're doing exactly what you were doing before you signed up, but now it's just a few things that have changed and that's unlocked fucking everything for you. I want to do that for every single person that signs up. And I can't do that if I keep you in a deficit forever, which is why when people come to social events and they go, oh my God, what do I do? Do I track? Do I guesstimate? And I go, don't fucking worry about it. Go there, have fun, be mindful, don't restrict yourself. Find something with protein, but other than that, just have fun, go enjoy yourself. You know, the scales may jump up the next day, or maybe even the day after that, but they will come back down, because it's more than likely going to be fluid retention. You would have to eat fucking way too much in order to put on actual true fat gain through that whole period. So just go and have fun. And when you come back, we'll just keep doing your lifestyle, which is waking up, going to the gym, having fun, doing whatever the fuck it is. And they go, are you sure? And then obviously the big freak out of when the scale does go up and they're like, oh my God, I knew I fucked it up. I'm like, hang on, give it a week. just give it a couple days first. I'll guarantee you by Wednesday or Thursday, the weight will come back down either to where it was, if not lower than what it was, just from you not freaking the fuck out and just doing what you were doing this entire time. Because if you have, just a quick side note, if you have been shown like the data, or if you've proven to yourself that, hey, across these last 4 weeks, this lifestyle and what I'm doing is helping me lose weight, why would you get away from that if it's making you feel good as well? If you're losing weight and feeling like shit, yeah, change it, because that's not good. But if you have 4, 8, 12, 16 weeks of you going to the gym, eating healthier, being mindful, got decent social events, you're still living your life, you're being more present with your family or friends or whatever, if you're doing all of that and you have the ability to look back on your life for the past 4, 8, 12, 16 weeks, whatever it is, and you say, I've gradually, slowly been losing weight. There's some weeks in there where it's maintained or it's gone up a little bit, but that's because of XYZ social event. If I just keep doing what I'm doing, shit's going to work out. It's all going to be okay. And I don't have to change anything. I just have to keep doing what I'm doing. And that itself is so fucking freeing to have, the realization that what you're doing is just waking up and going about your everyday life, and you don't have to focus on weight loss anymore. Is you can just keep doing that. If you want to keep tracking calories and shit, then fantastic. But you don't have to change or juggle calories or do fucking anything or do more cardio to make up for the fact that you ate something more. You don't have to do any of that shit, because you've just realized and proven to yourself over the past 4, 6, 8, 12, 10, 20, 400 million weeks, this lifestyle that I'm doing, it feels good and I'm seeing results. Everything I'm doing is aligning with the goals that I want, and I'm feeling amazing for doing it. So why in the sweet fuck would I change anything just because the scale's gone up a little bit? Keep doing what you're doing because it's aligning with your goals and you feel good for doing it. That is the golden ticket that we want. Through that process, for all of my clients, it is teaching them how to maintain without having to track calories, which is a whole different kettle of fish. Is that the thing? Ballpark? I don't know. Kettle of ballpark? Let's go with that. Why not? It's a kettle of ballparks. That's a whole different thing for another time. But teaching people how to maintain their weight is one of the biggest things that we do as well. If we can fuck off your all or nothing perfectionism and teach you how to maintain your weight so you can go into a deficit and maintain. If we can do those three things, and then bonus points number four, do that without having to track calories, because you can normally maintain weight without having to track calories. But if you can do those four things, that's what I'm after. That's the golden ticket for everyone. No more all or nothing, no more perfectionism. Like, realize that you can actually have a life without having it to be 100 or zero, because life is actually made somewhere in the fucking middle. That's how babies are made. But anyway, that's going to be a fucking clip, I can guarantee you. But anyway, the third thing is learn how to go into a maintenance phase, because everyone knows how to be in a deficit and eat whatever the fuck they want at all times, always, and obviously gain weight. But not many people know how to set that boundary, maintain their weight, and then potentially even Monday through Friday, what happens most for people, Monday through Friday, they actually lose weight during that week because they're so stimulated, structured, routined. Then on the weekend, they have higher calories and then the scales go up, but the scales are fluctuating, let's just say 81 kilos. People are fluctuating around 81. You may go to like 80.5, and then over the weekend, you'll go up to 82. And then across that week, it'll jump back down to 81. And then over that weekend, maybe goes up to 81.5. Then it goes down to 80.7. Then it goes up to 81.2. If it maintains within plus minus a kilo of a particular number, that is a maintenance phase. You do not sit, you do not sit at, for example, 80 kilos, 80.0, 80.0, 80.0. That is not maintenance. That is, holy shit, something might be wrong here. We want to sit around, if it is 80 kilos, just as an arbitrary number, a maintenance phase is sitting around 79 to 81. Obviously, we want to be closer towards that 80 number and get the deviations down from like plus minus a kilo to like half a kilo. But that's completely normal to be within that kilo because that is a maintenance number. If you tracked your weight, not even calories or anything, but if you track just your weight for every day for a month and it sat around the average number every week, sat around about 81, 81.2, 81, 80.9, that's a pretty decent maintenance phase. That's pretty good. That's what we want. Most people don't feel restricted in the maintenance phase either. So they're the four things that we're really looking for. It's fucking awesome. The key point of this as to when to come out of a deficit or when you know that it is time to come out of a deficit and how things are going to be okay to go back to a maintenance period is I have a client who is showing... Oh, my face nearly exploded. I have a client who is showing red flags of burnout. And it just became a thing of like, we're not doing this anymore. I'm adding in calories. And increasing calories has been a thing since the very beginning. And that's something that she inherited from her, pardon my Australian, fucking shit cunt of an ex-personal trainer who had all sorts of eating disorders and mental health disorders. And gladly, he passed those on to all of his clients. And I'm so fucking glad that he is out of the industry now. It has taken every fiber of my being to not record TikToks from some of the check-ins that she has sent to be like, just fucking going all in on this dude. And yeah, so he's not in the industry anymore. So that's why I'm sort of holding my tongue. But I also just want to be like, hey, if you're a personal trainer and these are resembling you, fucking don't. And I really want to do that. But I know that I'll get unhinged as soon as I start doing it because I am quote unquote a passionate boy, as they say. That's what they say for guys with anger troubles, right? He's passionate. That's what they say. Yeah. It's not that I'm emotional or anything because I'm a guy. I'm not allowed. I can't be emotional because I'm a guy. God, pfft, no, I'm just passionate. But holy fuck, if I were a woman and I had those anger issues, it would be like, are you okay? Do you need therapy? You being okay? You being a little bit of a bitch? It's like, well, no, I just have ADHD and a lot of anger issues and repressed emotions. But, you know, that's the different standard that we're dealing with when it comes to talking about mental health and emotions. So fun fact for you. That's why guys get angry, because we don't know how to express our emotions. We are either happy or sad or angry. That's it. We have black, white, and red. That's about it, really. So yeah, if you're a guy listening to this, please, for the love of God, learn what the fucking different emotions are that you are feeling. Like, sit with your emotions to say, hey, maybe I'm frightened, maybe I'm scared, maybe I'm anxious, maybe I'm nervous, maybe I feel vulnerable, maybe I feel all of these different things that are not just bad. She'll be right, though, I guess. Fucking talk about it, please. Even just to yourself or your therapist or whatever. But any hoosies. So this client, she was showing a lot of red flags for burnout. First thing we did was, because she's working out every day, which is, in my eyes, a big no-no. If you want to be doing, like, for example, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, doing all your shit, then fantastic. Do your workouts, do all the stuff. That's all awesome. Even if you do every day, that's not bad. But if you're doing it every day because if you miss a day, you will freak the fuck out and it will cause massive negative impacts on you, then we have a bit of a problem because it's becoming reliant and it's becoming that thing, the same as drinking alcohol, the same as taking drugs, the same as hitting your numbers on your spreadsheet or doing whatever. If not having it is causing a four-year-old tantrum, then it's starting to become a bit of an issue and we need to work on that. So we've taken away 1 day a week from her for working out and it's a complete rest day. It's none of this bullshit influencer stuff of like, I'm doing an active rest day, so all I do is foam roll and go for a 10-kilometer hike. No. Go for your steps, do your stuff, but, you know, if you want to be productive, there are other ways that you can be productive. There are other things that we can have in our lives to feel that we are making a positive impact on our lives, or we can get energy from other areas in our life. It doesn't have to be just the gym or just your food or just your social media or anything like that. You can get them from different areas. So please explore what those different areas are and what is going to feel good for you if you obviously do struggle with these things. Which is why when people take a day off from the gym, I typically take a weekend day away from them. Why do I do that? Well, Monday through Friday, people are usually working. On the weekend, people have a lot of freedom and that drives them crazy. And that's what I want, because if it drives them crazy, they're going to find something else to do. And they have all the freedom in the world to do that. They don't have to go, well, I'll just ignore and just dive into work. And, you know, I feel like shit because I didn't go to the gym. So I'm just going to focus on my work and dive into there. Because then we're distracting ourselves and we're not sitting with the actual issue, which is, hey, I'm not going to the gym. Obviously, we're using this as the example. It could be whatever. But we're not going to the gym for this day on the weekend. And I want that because it gets people to sit with it in their uncomfortability and they can find something else to add into their life. Maybe it's a different hobby. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's learning different recipes. Maybe it's just taking some time to clean the house. Maybe it's starting a different project at home. I don't care what it looks like. As long as that person is having fun and doing something, maybe to take their mind off it, but they're doing something to add into their life. They're not doing just work. Because if you obviously go all in on work, not great. And obviously, please don't work on the weekend. So yeah, that's why I like taking a day away from, or giving people a rest day on the weekend, because they have no choice but to sit with it and find something with the freedom that they have and the time they have to add into their life or to do something else, to be like, oh, maybe I'll do this on the weekends. And it starts to become a hobby or a project or something else that just becomes a potential spark for passion for something else that they want to do. And that's why I like doing it. Because obviously if it's during the week, they go, oh, I fucking hated this. I was shit at work and I did this. Work's paying the bills. So we don't exactly want to fuck with the performance of that as of yet. When you start to feel good with taking the gym away or taking something away, then we can take it away from work. But for this person as well, so we gave them the rest day, but then there was another flag that I was like, I don't like where this is going. And I said, for the next 3 days, she's currently eating 2,500 calories per day and still showing me this red flag of burning out. So I said, for the next 3 days, because I know increasing calories is going to be a massive pain in the ass. For the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I want you to eat 2,900 calories, 2,900 calories. And of course, there was a freak out. There was, I can't eat that many calories. There was this, there was that. But I said, we're not going to do it forever. I just want to do these 3 days so that you can feel what difference it makes. And if you come back and you tell me that it made absolutely no difference and you felt shit and it did nothing but ruin the scales or this, that, or whatever, then we can call it and just say, sweet, maybe that's too many calories for you. It's too high. On the Sunday, I got a message and she said that it made a significant improvement for the better, that she was sleeping better. She performed her best that she ever has as of late. Jesus Christ. In the gym, everything about her being improved because she was eating more calories. So that's going to be a lot of fun for when we increase her calories again. And that's going to be super fun. So she ate 2,900 calories for 3 days in a row. Sleep improved, mood improved, hunger went away, performance at the gym improved, recovery was awesome, everything about her being improved. And the scales from Friday morning to Monday morning, they went up 400 grams, which is less than I thought she was going to increase on the scales. I was expecting sort of like 600 to 900 grams maybe, but that is completely normal. Even if her maintenance calories were 3,100 and she was in like an aggressive deficit, for example, just to paint you this picture. If you are in a deficit and go up to your maintenance phase or up to your maintenance numbers and the scale increases, you are not gaining fat. You know why? Because it's your maintenance numbers. You cannot put fat on in a maintenance period. You cannot gain or lose fat in a maintenance period because, spoiler alert, keyword, it is a maintenance number. That is why they're called maintenance. Now, if you have the numbers wrong in any capacity, you'll start consistently gaining weight or you'll start consistently losing weight. Then you've got it wrong and there's an energy imbalance there somewhere, either plus or minus or surplus and deficit. We need to figure that out. But you'll be able to tell because your weight will consistently be going one way or the other. And that's how we tell if you're in a deficit or surplus or if you're maintaining. When you go from a consistent deficit into your maintenance phase or into your maintenance numbers, it is completely normal for the scales to increase. Why do they increase? I'm willing to bet some people already know this. It increases because your body now has better potential to hold on to fluid. You start introducing more carbs and more nutrients into your body. First off, your muscle stores are going to get bigger, which is why the last few days, like 3 days or 2 days or whatever the fuck, last 3 days, leading into a bodybuilding competition. Bodybuilders will eat a fuckload of carbs and protein. You know why? Because carbs are a delivery service for nutrients to the muscles. They're trying to plump their muscles as much as they can with the nutrients that they are getting. So this is also why if you have a pizza, I'm just going to say pizza, that's my thing, you all know that by now. If I have a pizza on Friday night and that Saturday morning I go, fuck, I'm feeling good, and I go to the gym and I smash out a session, it's because the extra nutrients that have come in on that Friday have gone to my muscle storages, to every, like right now, you can't hear this, but obviously you'll see it on TikTok and you'll see it on the clips. I'm moving my hands around a fair bit as I talk, and now I'm just being stupid with it. Every time, for example, people live on TikTok, you'll see this. As soon as I do this, like bring my hand from the desk up to my face, that is a bodyweight bicep curl. Not a bodyweight bicep curl, but it is a bicep curl. It requires the contraction of muscle fibers for that to happen. How does that happen? It requires energy to do that. In the morning is when you have the most muscle storage, Jesus Christ, the most energy in your muscles. I'm trying not to go for ATP and like energy stores and shit with this. You'll have the most energy in your muscles ready to be used in the morning, which is why most people feel a hell of a lot better doing a workout in the morning, and they'll feel stronger in the morning compared to the afternoon, depending on what amount of fucking pre-workout you take. But hey, when we introduce more nutrients to yourself, your muscles are going to uptake that and they're going to plump up and go, thank fuck, this is all here. And no, food does not go directly to fat stores. It has to digest, it has to assimilate, it has to go everywhere first. First place it does go to is, and I actually may have this order wrong, it goes to the liver first off to get broken down, and then that gets taken out towards muscle stores and everything. It will first get distributed across your body through the muscles that you have, through the organs first off, and then into your muscles. Then with whatever is left, it will go towards your fat stores. That is being in a calorie surplus. If I eat my maintenance period, that means my body, my muscles, my everything about myself has 100% energy requirement being fulfilled. If I go into a calorie surplus, that means I'm eating 110% of what my body can store, what its capacity is in terms of muscle storage or energy storage. So then it goes, what do we do with the 10%? Well, we fortunately have something called metabolic adaptation. It goes, that's way too much. Some of it obviously goes into our waste. Some of it then goes into, gets broken down and gets put into our fat stores. Because we go, there's no point in wasting all of that. We're not going to just shit back out whatever amount of calories it was above your maintenance phase. It puts it into our fat stores. And then we use that for later when we don't have enough energy coming in. That's calorie surplus, deficit, fat loss, fat gain, explained in a clip. So if you've been in a deficit for extended amounts of time, you are depleting your muscles' energy stores, which is why it's going to be very hard to gain muscle being in a calorie deficit. It's still definitely possible because gaining muscle is a stimulus response as opposed to an energy response, but it's more ideal to build muscle when you give it the appropriate building blocks that it needs, like protein, carbs, and calories and all that fun stuff. It just helps. Way better recovery, way better building as well. The scale will go up because not only is your body holding on to more nutrients and it's more energized and ready for the day because you've increased its capacity, instead of it sitting at, for example, it's got 100% capacity, that's its capacity. You only eat up to 70% of its capacity, then yeah, it's going to shut down or attempt to shut down 30% of unnecessary shit. And that's called metabolic adaptation, which is why when you're in a deficit for a long period of time, you'll start to get brain fog. You'll start to not sleep as well. You'll start to just be yourself, but at less. You'll be less of yourself when you are in a deficit for way too long. Because your body doesn't know you're trying to look good or lose fat or do these things. It just knows, hey, we're either living and surviving or we are dying. Which is why you'll get a lot of hunger signals. Because your brain goes, we're fucking dying. Give us more, please. And hey, thank you for all the likes on the live. That's fucking amazing. Thank you, Jazz. So that's why all of that happens. It's completely normal for the scales to go up, not just because of your body holding on to that, but because then it also has to hold it in different areas. You're now holding, for example, carbs. They have water. They can hold water. I cannot remember if I just said this at the start of the thing, but anyway, carbs have the capacity to hold water. So when you start fueling your body up, not only do you have enough energy in your body to now actually function and get through the fucking day for once, your body is now holding onto a little bit more fluid because you've got more carbs, because it holds on and just keeps you hydrated. So going from a deficit to a maintenance, the scale is only going up as a direct reflection of your body being fueled. It's not a direct reflection of you gaining fat, because you would have to eat fucking way more calories than you believe in order to put on true amounts of fat. And what I said earlier before, where if you sit around 80 kilos, you'll have a plus minus 1 kilo fluctuation when you maintain around that weight on sort of average, which means you could be 79.5 for 1 week. The week after, you could be 80.5. You'll fluctuate within that because of the different carbs that are coming in, the different energies that are coming in, the different amount of fluid that is coming in. Where are you in your cycle? There's going to be a hell of a lot at play for what the scale says, but it will always fluctuate. When you go from that deficit to a maintenance, you'll start to feel amazing. The biggest difference that you will notice is that you start to sleep better. Your mood will then start to increase. Your energy will start to increase. Your performance at the gym will start to increase. You will have less brain fog. Everything about yourself then becomes more. And that's ideally what we want. We want to sit at the maintenance and just build as much as we can and enjoy life as much as we can. That's the golden ticket that I want for every fucking person that is listening to this. I want to get you to a point where you can enjoy life and not have to track calories, and you can just do whatever the fuck that you want within reason, set your personal boundaries, but so that you don't have to track calories, worry about the scales, do any of that shit. You've got food freedom. You're sleeping better. You're not waking up with a fucking cannonball on your chest anymore. And you can just go to the gym, feel strong. Even if you're not going to the gym, you can do your fucking... I don't know why I went to go say ultimate puzzle. What is an ultimate puzzling? I'm sure there's puzzle competitions out there, but hey, I haven't worked with a professional puzzler before. There's one to puzzle on. Anywho. What the fuck? What is my brain? Oh my God. As soon as I'm not talking about something I have like expertise in, it just goes, you know what would be funny? A gnome riding a bear. That'd be fun. Make a D&D character about it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to turn that into a TikTok. Yay. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, so yeah, you are not gaining fat by going from a deficit to a maintenance period. You are just fueling your body up. You know, all those things as to why you feel shit, like the sleep, the brain fog, the this, the that, list all the things that feel shit for a calorie deficit. If you go to a maintenance period, you are quite literally counteracting those things that are happening. You will stop feeling like shit, and you will feel it in the same capacity that you're no longer having brain fog. Your periods are now, if you've been in a deficit for fucking ages, your periods are now starting to be a bit more consistent. They're starting to go from what used to be a 28-day cycle out, pushing out for a deficit to like 36 days, 40 days, something going on to be like, oh, fuck, this isn't good. Because if you do sit in them for a while, you're at risk of something called hypothalamic amenorrhea, which is basically you lose your period because your body does not have enough nutrients coming in for you to be able to bleed every month, for you to be able to have that cycle. It is a hormonal necessary thing that we need. Not we as in me, but we as in you. It means that you are healthy. If you have a regular period, fan-fucking-tastic. We love that. And when you go towards your maintenance periods, you will start to notice that you have maintenance periods, pun intended. You'll start to have decent periods. They'll start to flow a lot better. The consistency of them will be the exact same. The duration of them will be about the same. The days that they are will stop going from 21 days to 60 days, and they will start to sort of bring that in to be 28 days to 32 days to 26 days to 29 days. It'll start to be more consistent because you have the nutrients coming in to be able to produce that. And that's what we want. If we ever start to get to that point where your period is starting to get a bit fucky, please come out of the deficit and take care of yourself and your life and your mental health and everything that's going on inside of you, because your period can be, often is, the fucking key flagship indicator for, hey, there's something fucked here. Because that is how you build your life. Oh, getting a spam call again. Because that's how you build your life. The menstrual cycle has been created by whatever fucking thing that put us here, or evolution that got us here, to be able to say, hey, this is how we have kids and don't have kids and do all this, and this is your hormone profile and function and what's going on. And if the very thing that has been sort of evolved over time for you to be able to keep life on this planet going, and that has stopped, or it's been thrown through the fucking wall, and that thing that is designed to point you in the right direction of creating life, right now, it's telling you it cannot even create your life to keep your life going. If there is something fucky with your cycle, we have to fix that. Come out of the deficit, figure it out, let's fix it, and then if you want to, we can go back into the deficit. But we have to take care of your actual health first and not just your fat stores. That's what we have to do. That's the priority here. So this, to wrap this up, this client was on 2,500 calories a day and she was still losing weight slowly. We bumped up to 2,900 calories for 3 days in a row because I just wanted her to feel what the difference would be. And she improved as herself, everything about herself, she improved for 3 days in a row. The scale went up by 400 grams, but I was honestly expecting more because of the amount of muscle that she now has and the low amounts of fat stores that she has. It was just her going to be refueled and ready to go. And on that Monday morning, everything was fucking amazing. She didn't like that the scale had gone up by a little bit, but hey, I'm going to talk to her later today and we'll figure that out. We'll run through that together. And by the time that she's listening to this podcast, it'll probably be the week after. So there you go. But yeah, I'm probably going to increase her calories. I know you're probably listening to this right now and you've gone, yeah, well, fuck, yeah, we did. But yeah, the Tuesday morning after she went to the 2,500 calories, because she's on 2,500 normally, after the 3 days at 2,900, she did the Monday at 2,500, which is what her recommended calories are at the moment, and I'm about to change them tonight, which will be last week by the time she hears this. She registered her lowest ever weight on the Tuesday morning after eating nearly 3,000 calories for 3 days in a row and then one day at 2,500 calories, which is again for me telling me we need to increase the calories even more. And over time, decrease the amount of physical output that she has as well. But we will cross that bridge when we get there. For right now, we just need to increase calories to help her feel good and amazing and sleep better, which is then going to help everything else off the back end of it. So if you want to start losing weight, if you want to start feeling amazing, if you want to start doing all these things, then you need to start adding things in. You don't need to stop doing anything. If you want to not, I'm going to say it like this, and I mean it with the most amount of love that I possibly can say. If you want to, quote unquote, stop being fat, then you don't need to stop eating. If you think like that in terms of restrictions, I don't want to be this, so I don't eat this now. If you think in terms of minimization like that, then yes, you're always going to be losing weight and giving something up in order to achieve something that you've never really had before, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would we subtract to add things in? What normally happens, like, we're not going to take things away from your life because your life is already at the point where you're saying, hey, I need to change it. I need to improve it. I need to do something to change my life. I want it to be better. We don't take things away from a shit life. We try to add things in to a shit life to say, hey, look at these positive things that you've now got. Look how amazing they make you feel. We add things in so that you can focus on them, so that they create motivation. They maybe spark some passion and you start to feel, oh fuck, when I go to the gym, I get more energy. I feel amazing. Oh shit, when I eat higher protein, I don't need to snack as much. When I start to eat these more micronutrient dense meals or healthier quote unquote meals, when I start doing all of those, I don't need to eat all the other things as much as possible. It starts to push all the shit out of the way because you're too busy focusing on what makes you feel amazing. That is the Willy Wonka golden ticket as well. You focus so much on the positives and you just keep doing that. The same way that if there's like that saying of like, don't look at the tree, don't look at the tree, don't look at the tree. You're going to look at the tree. Don't think of a big purple elephant. You're going to think of a purple elephant. You'll always get what you focus on. And yes, things will throw you through life and it'll feel like a pain in the ass and maybe you'll get thrown and you'll have some shitty situations in life. But if you keep focusing on what you can do and the positives that come off the back of that and what you're working towards or moving towards, things will get better. Things do get better. And I could show you any of the fucking testimonials that we have for my style of let's add things into your life instead of taking things away, I could show you any amount of testimonials that will prove that that is correct and I believe the right thing to do. Yeah. Short of that, I can put you in contact with fucking clients because I've done that before. Yeah, that's actually just a fun little thing. I've put people in touch with clients that are active and graduates to be like, hey, don't take my word for it. And these testimonials, for all you know, they could be doctored because someone really didn't trust me. So I said, how about I put you in contact with two different clients? And they said, yep, for sure. And I just asked the client and the graduate at the time. And I said, do you mind if I get you to text someone or even connect you on Facebook to just be like, hey, what was it? It was Facebook, Facebook Messenger. Do you mind if you reach out on Facebook Messenger or they reach out to you and you just have a chat with them about the program? And I left it there. And then 3 months later, that person did sign up. It was fucking awesome. So it was like, oh, holy shit. My clients didn't fuck it up. They actually like me. So that was fun to know. But yeah, I hope you got something out of this podcast. I hope you learned something valuable from it. Obviously, if you want to work with me or even Laura, feel free to just go through the website, www.thefitnessgenie.com.au. In the top right-hand corner, we have a nav bar now. It's a super fun nav bar. Top right-hand corner, you'll see programs. Your Mindful Movement is Laura's membership program, which is fucking amazing, but it is more group style. Transformation program, Laura and I both do that. I have two spots. I had to look at my notes. I'm pretty sure I have two spots at the moment, at time of recording. We'll figure that out. But anyway, at time of recording, I'm pretty sure I've got two spots available for the transformation program. So if you want to get involved, do that so that you don't miss out. Otherwise, my next person graduating isn't until late June, and I won't be taking people on until I get back from my two-week holiday, like mid-July, because I also have Simply Happy and Healthy launching in July as well, probably late July, probably even first week of August, just so I have time to not fuck it up and do some troubleshooting. But hey, yeah. That's all the stuff. If you want to change your life, let's fucking do it. Go to the website, book in a call. Let's do that. Because if you, fun fact, oh my God, I'm on TikTok live, so I can't use my actual Google thing, but I'm going to do this right now with y'all. By the time that this podcast comes out, which will be the 21st of May, if you listen to this on the 21st of May and you're so motivated and hyped and all that stuff, and you say, yep, let's do it, you book a call immediately and you get started for the week of the 27th. Let's just say I have availability from the 27th of May. Let's do this. What is 26 weeks from the 27th of May, 2024, which is by the time that you are listening to this podcast, obviously, again, you say, yep, we book a call, we sign up, you do the questionnaire, we do all the payments, we figure that fuck out. And you get started from the week of the 27th of May. The end of the program will take you up to Sunday, the 24th of November for this year. So we how in the sweet fuck am I almost promoting Christmas programs? It's not even June. Holy shit. Anyway, if you want to change your life before Christmas this year, you need to sign up in the next 2 weeks because we take some time off around Christmas. But yeah, fucking hell, if you want to change your life before Christmas, you need to do it in the next couple of weeks. 24th November, that's actually quite scary. But anyway, hope you got something from this. If you loved it, please, if you don't already follow us, give us a review, let us know, because there are people out there that really need this type of information. But I'm not good at marketing and doing the full fucking sales and, hey, do this and smash that subscribe button. I fucking suck at it. I definitely rely on clients and people sharing and commenting and engaging. That's my marketing. So I'm just here to provide value. And if you like it, I'm basically just banking on you to share it, engage with it and do stuff so that people out there who need to hear it but don't yet know that I exist can get access to it. So yeah, you go do you. If you feel like helping in any way, all you need to do is like, share, review, do whatever the fuck you want to do, whatever you've got the time and capacity to do. I would love that and appreciate it. But yeah, otherwise, have an amazing day, time, week, month, whatever it is that you are intending to have. Go and have it. And I'll see you in the next one.